sisters in the world.
Here we are. I think we have a first here. This is the first time we've had any opposing fans. I mean, other than Jerry Mancini, but he's a closet Interista. So this is the first time we've had a Juventus fan on a special occasion. Welcome, Lex, at DivaAlexa. Thanks for coming on. I know it's not the greatest circumstances. It was going to be bad for one of us, but thanks. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all? Thank you for having me on. First off, I'm honored to be the first Juve guest.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never thought we'd get to this point having other fan bases on, but thanks again. I'll start out with you. Here's Dave. I'm gonna pop Dave in here. Oh, we got the whole panel here plus Lex. How are you feeling after the match? I know it's probably a big disappointment. You said that you caught it on delay, which is even probably stings a little worse, but.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't able to catch the match live, so I recorded it, avoided my phone and all spoilers for a few hours, and then I watched it afterwards and was just, I think I turned it off after the fourth goal. I just called it a day. Like, it was definitely frustrating because, you know, just from a Juve perspective, we went into that hoping to get a trophy, something out of this season. But unfortunately, I think we probably weren't the best team over the whole course of the game. I think there was moments where we were the better team. But I think overall, I think what did us in was sitting back after that 2-1 lead when we subbed on Bonucci and basically went back to what looked like a back five and tried to hold off that 2-1 lead. And then when you do that, at least my philosophy of the game, you invite waves of pressure from the other team. And then that leaves space for mistakes like the penalty shot to happen. And so, yeah, that was my interpretation of the game.
And not to get too controversial, but we've seen a lot of noise about the penalties. In your opinion, nobody's gonna come for anything of this. Were they penalties?
Yes, for me, okay. Both were. I think that the De Ligt one was no question, like definitely a penalty as soon as I saw it happen. And then I think that I believe it was Bonucci gave up the first one. It was a little more gray area, but I still think it was fair to give. I think ultimately I'm just like, I'm so beyond like the arguing about the penalties and the ref and whatever. It's just, like I said, you know, when you invite that pressure, you allow those mistakes to happen. Like, I feel like as a Juve fan, I've watched this happen so many times, like, especially under Allegri. So for me, yeah, not the controversial take you probably expected, but yeah, it was two also very well taken pens by both of those guys who stepped up. So I was like, it was impressive. So,
yeah, I mean, I was quite scared when for both penalties, but even when Juve went 2-1 up, we saw in the first half, Allegri really saw something when he took off Danilo, even though I think it was through injury, but threw on Morata instead. And that's what really, really changed the game. I think if they would have stayed with the attack after the 2-1, I thought we were in pretty deep waters. I was writing it off. I was sitting there. I was like, man, this season now slipped away to Milan, slipped away to Juve. This would be the worst possible outcome. But, Inter managed to turn it around. Does anyone else have any questions for our esteemed guest here?
Yeah, sure. I'll go. Alexa, first, I wanted to thank you for joining us. I know it's tough, especially after a loss. You know, personally, had I been in your position, I'm sure I would have found an excuse or something to reschedule. So I want to commend your courage for showing up. But my question for you would be this. How do you feel about Allegri? Of course, it's not the Juve way to fire a manager every season. Last year, you guys fired Pirlo because I guess it was viewed as an underachieving season. And the year before that, it was fit to the Allegri. When you compare his season to those two that I just previously mentioned, you could say that his season is he had an even worse season. How do you feel? Do you think he should be given another chance, build a squad that he wants, or do you think Juve should already tell him, hey, listen, pack your bags, we're going to look for somebody younger?
Oh, it's such a tough question, such a tough position to be in. I think that we never should have given him – I think we never should have brought him back in the first place. That was the first problem. It didn't make sense to sack a manager you just got rid of in the 2018-19 season, which we did. We fired him. And then we bring him back a couple of years later, and you sign him to this, I think it's like $7 million plus bonuses, up to like $9 million a season contract for like 4 years. Like, that is a huge undertaking. Like, you have to really put your faith in that manager. And I just think that there was a disconnect there. So I think that that initial decision was not the right one. But since, like, we can't go back in time and we're kind of stuck where we're at right now, I think that I don't think it's realistic to fire him again, just because we've had this turnover of managers. Would I like to see him gone? Probably. But like I said, I don't think it's a realistic thing. But my reasoning behind that is kind of exactly like what you said. This season seems to be kind of the worst out of the last couple seasons that we've had. And I just haven't seen anything like to build on from this season. Like, in my opinion, it was very, very hard to find positives from this season that we progressed and that we can use to build on for the next season under Allegri. Like, our, you know, you could try and say defensive solidity. Oh, well, I think if it's up to now, I think we just let in one less goal now than last season, but we scored like much less. So you don't even have an attacking shape to build on. I don't even know what like system we play. I don't know what formation we play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even maybe from an opposing fan's perspective, it's like, you don't really know what you're going to get with us. Right. So
yeah.
I think that that would be the biggest thing. And then just our talents. So we have these great young talents. We got like Chiesa when he's back, we got Vlahovic, like Locatelli. And so we have a great core to build on, and I think we still are missing pieces that we can build on for the summer. But I think we will keep Allegri. But bottom line, I think especially next year, if it's not like we're not seeing any type of progress, like, it's got to be it, you know? Like, you risk wasting another season. I think that that's what gets me, is that I don't know if keeping him wastes another season for us and another season of our like prime players, right? Kind of stalls their development.
Actually, yes. Yeah, actually, I have a follow-up question to that.
Sure.
Because I asked it in a space that we did yesterday, but it was mostly Inter fans, but I wanted to get it from a Juve perspective. It seems to me that Juve seem to have a different level that they bring out for Inter. We saw it in the second round of the Scudetto race, where we did manage to beat you guys 1-0, but I'll raise my hand and admit that you guys were dominating most of the match, and we were lucky to get out of there with a victory. Yesterday, again, we seemed to see the same thing. After we scored that early goal, of course, it seems like you guys woke up and just were pressing us, and we couldn't get out of our own half. You guys were creating chances after chances, corners and stuff like that. What I wanted to ask you, my question is this. Do you think it's something that Allegri turns on and off? Or do you think it's something, it's more of a Grinta thing that, okay, we're going to play Inter, so we're going to show up, we're going to put our best foot forward? Or is it like Allegri? What do you think?
It's a good question. That's a really good question. I think that it's a little bit of both. I think that there's definitely a level that you rise up to when you're playing Inter, and it's a derby. And I also think that, just to add another reason, would be Inter's play style. The fact that continuing on from Conte is kind of a sit back and then have a lethal counterattack. So I think that Inter likes to draw the other team in, so they kind of allow us to play around more. That's why I think that we tend to look better and more successful in our like attack and creation when we do play Inter. But I also do think it's something that Allegri turns on and off. I believe yesterday we lined up in the 4-2-3-1 again before we made that switch. And that was successful for us. And like, a lot of the Juve fans have been like begging for Allegri to play a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 for like this entire season. So I do think that he's shown it. And like you said, it's interesting that it's only against Inter that we seem to see these little glimpses of some more or less attacking football, right? That Juve plays when we go up against Inter. So it's interesting that that happens. But then I think it's clear that Allegri plays a role in it and that it can be turned off. And I think that we saw that when those substitutions were made and we changed our play style completely, right? Like, I know
that... Yeah, he switched it off.
Exactly. And on All Juve cast, Al mentioned, I just watched their pod this morning, and Al mentioned that it was interesting that Max made those changes in response to Inzaghi, because Inzaghi was making those changes in response to how we were playing. Because as you guys pointed out, and as Mikey said, he was like, I was getting a bit worried, like the way you guys were creating and pressuring us, especially with the momentum after those two goals. And so it's like you said, I do think that it's something that Max really, really influences and can turn on and off as well.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of 4-4-2 out of Juve this season, which I've never been a big fan of formation-wise. I've always just, I mean, the only guy who can ever do anything with it is Simeone, and I mean, he only does it half the time. But do you see, like, where do Juve go from here? Like, in, I guess, your opinion, what everything you see, you're much more plugged into the daily rumor mills and things like that than we would be. You know, what is the base of this team? What are you expecting next season? Who's coming in? Who's going out? Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of turnover for you guys.
Sorry, I just wanted to add on that point. Do you think De Ligt is staying upon, you know, coming the next season? Because I think he has been, you know, up and down throughout the season and throughout his tenure at Juventus. A lot of people consider him untouchable and whatnot, but with Chiellini going out of the club this summer, and Bonucci, who, in my opinion, has always, you know, climbed on Chiellini's success and just ride it on. How do you see Juventus's backline from next season on?
Definitely another, like, squad issue that we have to address is going to be that situation, right? And I think losing Chiellini will be a big loss, and something that's kind of been compounding for a few years. We've, like, kind of held on to the old and relied on the old guys. Moving forward, I think that De Ligt is definitely a player to keep for sure, especially even for that reason. As for whether or not he's going to move, it's an interesting question. I think that I have less faith than a lot of other Juventini on De Ligt being like pure bianconero and staying with us and like becoming a club legend, captain, and etc. I don't know. I think that it depends how we progress, right? I can see him. Because ultimately, he's going to want to win trophies, right? Especially for a player of his ability, right? And so, I mean, depending on if we're keeping Allegri next season and depending on how we progress next season, I don't know. I could see I would be a little worried that he could leave. But that's, again, kind of tied into my my Allegri fears. But and then going back to your question, original question, Mikey, about like how we're going to look this summer, we're going to pick up. I mean, rumor has it that we're playing a 4-3-3 next season, or planning on it, especially upon Chiesa's return. So I do think we need another winger. I think there's a rumor about Di Maria. I'm all for it. I love Di Maria. I think that if you get him for a year or two, absolutely. So yeah, that seems to be what we're looking at. I think we definitely need another midfielder. Either if we're going to play with a regista, get a regista, or we need another like Mezzala type attacking midfielder, especially losing Dybala. It's another huge loss, which we'll see where he goes. I don't know. What do you guys think that?
No. What about your name change?
Yeah. I think he'll end up.
Or team change, because I tried to float the tweet in there. Name change or team change, you know? Something.
Oh, no, not team change. Oh, I saw that. That was you. That was funny. That was funny.
I've got a question, if I may. Seeing how Chiellini will depart, it's been confirmed from Juventus, like basically the heart and soul of the team since you guys went down to Serie B, no dig intended, and back up, you know, ever since then, like bringing the grinta, the winning mentality and the do or die, you know, him being the only Juventus player I will probably ever like. How much of an impact do you think that will have on the team?
I think that it will have a huge impact. It's a great question. I think that it's probably being understated right now how much of a loss it will be, especially I think to lose Chiellini and Dybala in the same summer. You know, I know that like some people in Juventini don't really consider Dybala to be like as much of a leader, which is probably arguable, but like I think that they've both been just huge symbols of our club and our club's identity for quite a few years now, and just especially Chiellini, right? And so I think losing that, it's definitely going to take those younger players stepping up, and we're going to have to see some new guys fill those roles and get those wins. And like you said, you know, display that grinta. So I think that it'll definitely be a transition. I think that next season, I think it might be another tough season for us just to find our footing, but.
Start of the rebuild.
Yeah, welcome to what Inter were post-treble.
Yeah, I mean, you've been to era maybe, but well, I know we promised that we were gonna be nice, and you've been sidestepping every trap that we've laid for you so far. So let's get right into it, right? Let's say that those rumors we've been seeing about your favorite player, Dybala, joining Inter, right? As I've seen, I could tell from the way you've been answering all our questions that you're not going to actually go too controversial here, but I know you're probably going to give us a very well-trained answer. Like, yeah, he could go to whatever team he wants. He served the club well and stuff like that. So I'm going to ask you this. From a Juve perspective, how would you guys feel if they actually joined Inter? You know, like, would it be a situation like you guys are burning shirts out in the streets, or would it be like Vlahovic joining Juve from Fiorentina, stuff like that? You know, I wanted to know, like, do you guys care? Because a lot of you guys on Twitter are already playing the I don't care card. He could do whatever. He's finished. So what do you think? Is he finished?
It's such a tough question. I think that a lot of Juventini care a lot more than they let on. I think that, like, especially, like, fans maybe of my age group and generation, just, like, growing up watching him, I think that a lot of fans are going to feel betrayed if that were to happen. And in terms of him being finished, man, it's tough because he has the ability. It's there. And in those moments when he is at his best, he's the best player in the league. And I think that the unfortunate part is right now is that he's not playing nearly at the level that he could be playing at. But he's still, as you probably know, has been an impactful player. You saw that assist he had yesterday on the Vlahovic goal. Like, that was phenomenal, right? So it's like, I don't know. It's like my friend who's a UA fan mentioned, like, oh, watch him leave, go to Inter, and then he's going to be, like, he's going to be fully fit. He's going to be, like, top scorer. Mm-hmm. It's like, just great. It's just like, that's just how it works, right? If he were to go there, he would just be great for them. But I mean, it's really odd. I haven't seen many rumors about, like, concrete rumors about where he's going. So it really makes me wonder. And I did put out a tweet about this, but I think, like, the scariest concern for me is the fact that I can actually genuinely see him at Inter. Like, take away the whole, like, betrayal, rivalry, like, as a team that makes sense for him to go to would probably be there. Like, I can't think of, other than, like, maybe Atletico or Barcelona. Like, it's tough to see, you know, especially the type of player he is. It doesn't fit into a lot of different systems. And I don't know. I think, like, I would be really upset. I would feel betrayed by that. I think that it would just, like, cast a shadow on these last wonderful 7 years with him. But I'm curious to know, I'll ask a question to you guys. Would you want Dybala if he were to come to your team?
Can
Are
I
you
just...
kidding me? Oh, okay, fine. So, fine.
The funniest thing of all are the rumors about Dybala going to Inter and Icardi going to Juventus. And, well, at the end, Inter makes money on Icardi. Dybala goes to Inter on a free. Who's the winner? Marotta, of course, the biggest signing that could have been.
Aristo coming out with the big guns, of course. He was sharpening his knives. He was loading that shotgun with, like, malcontent the whole time.
Just lying, Dave, and wait.
I just want to hear you speak. Come on, Dave. Music to my ears.
No, to answer your question, Absolutely. I would absolutely want him at Inter. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Lautaro, although he has been much better in the last month or so. I feel like Dybala is a player that not only can he create for himself, you know, he could change the match on his head in a split second, but he has the ability to create for others. We saw the assist, like you mentioned. We don't have any player on our squad that can do that other than Correa, and he does it at a very, very, very low clip when he's fit. You know, most of our guys, we have good workers, a good presser like Lautaro. We have Deco who's finished. So Dybala, I would absolutely love him. And it's not like he's been one of those guys who's been, let's say, like a Bonucci type that talks trash about the rivals and stuff like that. He's been a respectable, he's not a Cuadrado, for example. He's been a respectable Juve player. And also, we have that old clip of him holding an Inter shirt that we're gonna have circulating. I'm sure you've seen it. So he's been in our hearts for a minute.
Between that and the old Raspadori photo, it's like, oh my gosh.
The minute he joins you guys, you're gonna see that a lot too. Like, yeah, we sent him over there to destroy you guys from within.
For sure.
I mean, that's what everybody said when Marotta and Conte came to Inter. You know, there's always gonna be that bit of who's sabotaging who here. But back to the Dybala thing, I'll take him as long as he stays fit. That's always been the worry for me. We've looked at it on here a few times. We've pulled up, you know, just his career, and he started so early at a high level at Palermo. Yeah. But yeah, I just worry sometimes that maybe he's run himself into the ground at this point. And we don't need another Alexis Sanchez on the wages at Inter. Because, I mean, you get a few good games, but then you get a lot of, you know, walking, or you get a lot of, you know, not being fit from the start, things like that. But, I mean, if he can start, I still believe he's one of the best players in the league. And, you know, I think anybody would be happy to have him. I do think that maybe 7 years at Juve, maybe he just isn't as motivated as he would have been. I mean, he's won everything he can in Italy. At Juve, so maybe just another club, whether it's Inter or not, would, you know, be something that would light a fire under him. But to take it back, I know it also got mentioned, Icardi, is that still a rumor that's happening? Is that something still swirling around the Juve camp, or is that like after Vlahovic has come, like that's all gone?
Yeah, I think that's dead.
Okay. Yeah, definitely like slowed down. I feel like we're just always linked to him. It's just like they just bring it back, and then I get all scared, and then
it gets the clicks.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gets different reactions from the fan bases. You see, like Juve fans, they never want Icardi. Like every time he's linked to them, for the most part, I see that they don't want him. But us with Dybala, it's a whole different thing. And also, I wanted to add not only Dybala's quality, but we're talking about his positioning. Playing as a second striker in our system, I think that would probably allow him to stay fit more or less, because he would have less responsibilities. It's not like he's going to be playing as a winger where he has to track back, track the opposing right back or whatnot, or he's playing as an attacking midfielder where he has to track the DM and stuff like that. So we would allow him to roam over there and walk, do his messy thing, walk around until the ball comes to him, and then hopefully that keeps him fit. He's that good of a player for me to have the rest of the team work for him in order for him to create. So I'm all for it. I'm all on board.
Oh my gosh. Talking like he's already coming. No.
Dave handed him the contract and everything. Something dry.
Yeah. So I guess bottom line is I agree with you, Dave. I think it like makes sense for him in terms of his play style. I still think that maybe it's just me being hopeful that I don't think he would do it personally still, but we shall see. We shall see what happens.
It'll be an interesting saga. So it'll keep going on. I know you have to get out of here soon. So I want to ask one more question. I know it's early to talk about next season. And of course, a lot of moves are going to be made between now and then, but what are you expecting from Juve next season? Now that all the competitions this season, I mean, have been decided for you guys. What are you expecting next year?
It's really tough to say. I would say, like, definitely first step would be a strong summer transfer window, right? Like, I think that I tend to be critical of Allegri a lot. because just in terms of our play style, but I do think that there are some players that have just like, especially the ones that have been around now for like three seasons, you know, it's just kind of the same high wages, kind of, you know, underperforming. And I think that there's players like that and that there's areas of the team that we need to strengthen still. So I'm hoping that that happens. And next season, I want to see a system. I want us to decide on a type of play and to build off of our core players. Like once Chiesa is back, Vlahovic, Locatelli, De Ligt, like build off of that group. And hopefully Raspadori, if he comes to see us at Juve. But yeah, that's what I would expect from us. And then of course, as always, like Champions League for sure. And then a trophy or more.
How the mighty have fallen. Huh?
Yeah, but I mean, before I leave, I'm kind of curious of what, knowing that this result, right, with the Coppa Italia, how would you rate your season so far? I mean, it's not, nothing else has been finished. The Scudetto is still up for grabs, but how would you guys rate Inter's season so far?
What do you think? Who's going to win the Scudetto? Does Mil have the clutch instinct in the last two rounds?
Oh, me personally? Oh, I think it's Milan's year. I don't know. I mean,
it's going to hurt a lot more.
Neither team wants to be the favorite, right? But I do think that it's in Milan's hands. It seems like it's their year. I think that Inter would have to kind of pull something crazy would have to happen. But that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, going back for the season, though, I mean, when we're talking like from the mud of last summer when we got to celebrate the Scudetto for 2 days before the entire squad imploded. everyone was like, oh, Inter barely top four. Look at Spalletti going to Napoli. Look at Allegri back to Juve. Milan still strengthening. Everyone was like, all right, writing Inter off already. Mourinho at Roma too, even. Sorry at Lazio. Like it looked like a murderer's row in the summer. But to get here with everything that's happened, losing Lukaku when, I mean, that was our guarantee, I'm happy with it, you know, in the petty way also of winning two cups over Juve. You know what? I think that's a good enough cope for losing the Scudetto.
Oh, well, we have to give you guys something, I guess, right?
Watch out now, watch out. Personally, I would say if we do lose the Scudetto to Milan, and given the two cups that we have won, and the moral victory, I guess, of being the only side who has beaten Liverpool this season, and also making it to the second round or whatnot, something that we haven't done, and despite being back in the CL for 4 years now, I guess I would say the season would be a 7 out of 10 for me. The Scudetto, if we manage to, well, at this point, I can't even say it would be us winning it. I would say Milan has to lose it to us at this point because it's in their control. If they lose it to us and we manage to win it, that season would be a perfect season for me, a 10 out of 10, because it's not like we expected to win the CL this year anyway. So if we manage to pull off a domestic treble, it's a 10 out of 10 season. And without the Scudetto, I'll say it's a 7.
Cool. Yeah, it's interesting to hear that. I mean, like, it's crazy going back. Like, the Scudetto was yours to lose. Like, honestly, like, I actually had Inter my predictions at, you know, in December or whatever as winning it. And I think that, like, Mikey, as you pointed out, just going from in the summer, like, of course, we found it funny how the Inter dynasty imploded within 3 days after the win. But like you said, I think like credit where it's due to Inzaghi, to Marotta, for basically you guys lost like Lukaku, Hakimi, you lost your coach. Like, I think like I would agree with that. Like you said, Dave, it was pretty successful otherwise.
I think the answer at the end of the day depends on the viewpoint that you take on. Before the season started and after losing, you know, Lukaku, Hakimi, Conte, Coppa Italia and Supercoppa would have been, you know, enough and a Champions League spot to be declared as a good season. But after having the Scudetto in your hands and losing such an important match as against the smaller positions, mainly Genoa, I would say that game was the turning point of all. I would say if you go from that viewpoint, it would be a lost season because the Scudetto is worth more than both trophies that we won. But I think retrospectively, in a year's time, this would be declared as a good season because you were in contention for the title. What, 6-10 points more than your direct rival at the beginning of the season in Juventus, after Juventus spent like what, 100 million in the winter, beating them three times after they spent such money, winning two trophies over them. Retrospectively, I would say a good season overall.
You know, the funniest thing for me, going back all the way to last summer, is I was on a stream, I think it was Calcio Connection, right after the Scudetto. They went and did a live reaction, and I said that Conte would stay 4 or 5 more years and it would be a dynasty. And the way that I did that.
Conte does that to you, though. He does that. I feel like he's going to leave Tottenham this summer, too. I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of Conte, he's the reason why I was a little late, because I was watching Arsenal and Tottenham, and I lost track of time.
Okay.
They're destroying Arsenal right now. I'm still watching it. It's 3-0. That's crazy.
I heard Harry Kane got a brace.
Yes. I don't know, man. I think they could get Conte that fourth spot.
Yeah, I would take – to answer your question, yeah, I would take him back in a heartbeat.
Even after what he did with Inter?
Yeah. I think any Juve fan that said they wouldn't take him back would be lying. I also think that type of mentality, not to, like, take him back, realistically, he was the one we should have gone back, going way back to the original getting rid of Allegri. Should have been Conte who was brought in, but
especially if you guys had the money to spend now, because the issue was that you guys wanted to shop out €100 euro at a restaurant, but only at 20 euros.
Yeah, $10 or 10 euros, whatever. Oh yes, yeah, but yeah, I would take him back. Yeah, would you guys take him back?
No. I don't want to go through it again. I don't know if it was just the concerted effort of every other fan base in the league, of every news outlet, of just Conte's the most expensive coach, he's got this squad, you have to win or hellfire is going to be rained down on you. And so, like, every match for me with Conte, I was like, all right, it's either win or this is the end of the world. And then, like, Conte left and I felt like expectations went down and we got a manager who isn't melting down every other week and things have felt a lot better. I don't know. That's me personally, but yeah.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. For sure.
I'll take part of this fitness team back. Just bring Pintos back. That's it.
Oh yeah. I mean, Pintos, I mean, we would have won the Scudetto if we had Pintos. He would have kept Handanovic healthy. We wouldn't have had the Radu incident. We'd be fine.
Oh yeah. That game.
No, but yeah, Lex, I know you have to get out of here pretty soon. I think you said 4:05 was your limit, and we're right here at it. So this looks like a good place to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on, making some time for Interisti for whatever reason.
I don't know what I was thinking.
and listen, give us credit. We weren't too mean to you, were we? Like, come on now.
Not at all. It's very good. A nice, respectful discussion. Yeah. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was so nice to meet all of you. And yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again.
Yeah, so for sure.
Let me know.
A special episode coming with you after Dybala signs with Inter, that's for sure.
Yes!
I feel like
she'll send you a jersey.
Got to announce the handle change live.
Oh, yes!
My talent to South Beach, the decision.
Oh my gosh, I know. It's like, I think I might have to get a PR team if he makes the move.
You know, we'll Photoshop a jersey with your new username. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
All right.
Well, thank you so much and have a good rest of your show.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you again.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So, we're winning the Scudetto, right?
Guys.
Bro, the Bushi is going, though. What's up, Atalanta?
Juve, man.
It's crazy. As soon as she leaves, we start acting uncivilized.
Oh. back at
What's
it.
What's up? I feel like we covered most of the match yesterday with her, which she did a very great job giving us a Juve perspective. What's up?
Yeah, what's up? The fuck are you wearing?
I just came from work like 2 minutes before we start recording.
Who was it that you had a smart shirt on? Was that?
Yeah.
Was that Sharma said you had the smart shirt on.
Fine, give me a second.
He's an intellectual. Oh, come on.
Risto, you're making the man change on live.
Bro, come on.
For free.
We don't condone the bullying and brothers of the world.
Show us your Risto feet.
Risto and Ian, don't listen to that. We're going to cut that part out. Risto and Ian just have a very special relationship, okay? So that we don't condone any bullying here in the brothers of the world, okay?
Also, yeah, I guess if Lex listens back to this, I want to apologize for when everyone laughed and like dashed off cam because Saeed said that I had a high school drug dealer. I want to apologize for that. That was too good.
Yeah, we could not hold it in, and I know she can't. I don't know if she looks at the comments, but if she doesn't,
she looked a little confused. I was like,
she must have felt a little confused because we all started laughing. And that funny thing is, we all saw it at the same time too.
Yeah,
I think she was a bit confused as to why all of us were just going away from the camera. To answer some questions from the chat, if I may, Saeed, this is my endgame poster. But my face is photoshopped all over, courtesy of Sean from England. He said the poster is wrapping Brothers of the World by under Haristo, because Haristo at that point was just like...
Haristo was listening. He was being very analytical.
I know. I don't know why...
He had his listening hat on. Very good, Haristo. Thank you.
Other than that, what went on yesterday in the spaces? I was driving home. I couldn't listen.
What I was saying is this. I feel like we've covered everything about the match yesterday with Alexa. So did you guys want to talk about what's coming up this weekend, what we hope happens?
Talking about Milan losing and us getting back in the driver's seat of the Scudetto race?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. That's the kind of talk I want to talk.
subscribe to this situation and also subscribe to the YouTube channel down below. Click the notification bell.
No, but for me, I know I was in another space yesterday, and it was one that Nima had, and he was saying that for him, Atalanta's the deciding match for Milan. I'm not sure if I agree. I think even Sassuolo could take Milan down to the wire, especially if, they have that extra level of pressure on the last match day. That team has never been in that position. So I think they're going to possibly crack. I also saw an interesting tweet. Let me see if I can find it really quick. It was from, who was it from?
Why are you pulling that up? I do agree with you. The way I would state it myself is Atalanta is our biggest chance. That's like our last big chance of them losing, because we don't just need them to draw, A draw would be okay right now and make sure that they got pressure going into Sassuolo, but I think Atalanta, a motivated Atalanta that are going to need 3 points in order for them to get into the conference league, I think, because right now they're not even into conference league positions. So they're out of Europe right now, so they need to win out. So they're going to be fully motivated. And we know on their day, Atalanta can beat any team. So, yeah, I think they're our best chance. But also, we've been victims of Sassuolo. We know that Sassuolo can beat any team on their day as well. And they love measuring up to the bigger teams for some reason. So, and what? They beat Milan already this season. So, hey, who knows? Maybe they could pull a double off. We're just hopeful right now. We just got to be hopeful.
Yeah, Sharma's comment here saying, don't hype up any of the Atalanta players. I think that's a good idea, because I know I was like, Verona, Caprari, like, there's no way, it's written in the stars. Verona, Milan, 1990, like, it was going to happen, and then it did not.
All right, listen.
Call them all trash.
No. Perisic?
Zapata, trash. Dogs. Muriel, trash.
No. All right, no. I'm serious.
Malinovsky? Perisic?
Barisic bald this week, yesterday. Brozovic bald this week,
bald
yesterday again. What about Pašalić? The trifecta of Croatians doing work for Inter. Hat trick against Milan.
And well, I mean, that's his former team. Well. That's his former
team. That also applies to Rebic, buddy. Rebic is Croatian as well.
Nah.
But no, we'll see. That's how I feel. I feel like Atalanta is our biggest chance of them losing, but Sassuolo, depending on how they show up that day, they're capable. They have the players, but we'll see, man. Just for the beautiful spectacle, I just hope it goes all the way down to the last day, so we can actually be watching last match, like, really sitting on pens and needles. You know, it'll be fun. Like, we haven't had Scudetto go to the last match day until when? I don't know. I don't even remember. I remember Milan. It was Milan and Juve, right? I don't remember what year that even was, but. That kind of stuff is very, very entertaining. I want to have a Aguero moment, you know, kind of like when City won it, like that last minute. Hopefully that's us.
So what you're saying, we should do a watch along?
No, you don't want to see my. I can't put myself in that state on the internet.
I ain't doing no watch along.
I mean,
how about that?
I'll give you all the password if y'all want to do the watch along. I'm not putting my face on it, but
me neither. You European boys can do it. The Americans are staying out of this.
Yeah,
but listen, here's what I was gonna say. If somehow Atalanta beat Milan and we beat Cagliari and we're back in the driver's seat, sure, let's have a watch along for the last match.
Yeah, then we get 5 Maggio'd all over again.
Nah, never. If anything, Sampdoria is gonna lay down for us.
Sensi hat trick, Kendriva brace. No, but it's still. I'm just glad that, you know, we're still in it. I hate to be at that point now, but like just to be glad to still be in it. But I mean, as long as you're there, there's still a chance. But the tweet that I wanted to bring up, it was from Patrick Kendrick, the commentator. Said that
a Milanista.
He's an Interista. He just works for Milan. He's done a bit of everything. He's a very impartial.
He's basically like
snake. He's a snake.
he's the Andrea Pirlo of commentating. But he says that Milan need 4 points to win the Scudetto. If Inter wins their matches. But if Milan gets those 4 points, they would have gone 16 matches unbeaten to finish the season.
That won't happen.
Fuck.
That just doesn't happen. I don't think. Yeah. Like, I think.
I mean,
some shit tells it is going to happen.
It's getting tougher and tougher because there's only 2 matches left, but we got to stay true to our words. We sat on this very platform and we said if Milan could run off Lazio, Fiorentina, Verona, Atalanta, and Sassuolo and beat all 5 of those teams that deserve the Scudetto, we clap and absolutely. We do whatever we do to release, and we run it back next year. And I'm ready to do that. You know, their fans are super annoying on Twitter, so I'm probably gonna have to take some time off. But I said it, if they can, because I would even put trust in us to be able to get out of those 5 games without dropping points. So if they can win those 5 matches, 15 points out of them, not 15. What am I saying? Yeah, 15 points out of them, and also go on an unbeaten streak for 16 matches, which is damn near half of the season. What can we say, bro? We fucked it off to Bologna last week. So they deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, if you run off that many, I mean, I think we ran a similar streak to, you know, get to the Scudetto last season. You know, you think after the new year when Eriksen clicked and everything just started cruising. Mm-hmm. If you beat, we've been saying it the whole season. And if you beat Verona, Fiorentina, Atalanta, and Sassuolo in succession, I mean, yeah, I guess
what can you say?
Scudetto, like, and it's on us for losing to Bologna, drawing to Genoa, you know, bottling a lead to Milan.
Yeah, the culpa really does just make it a little bit better. Like, I feel like I can talk about this and not want to like bash this table. So, yeah, how are we all feeling about the season now? Is this, you know, something we can take into next season and build on, or is this the best it's gonna get?
Oh no, I think we could absolutely build on it. But go ahead, Ian. I've been talking. I want to hear your thoughts.
I was gonna say, Christo pretty much said it as I wanted to say it before. There's two points of views for me. One is before the season, one's during the season. Like before the season, if you said, all right, you're gonna beat Juventus in the Supercoppa, you're gonna beat Juventus in the Coppa Italia, you're gonna beat them in the league as well, you'll finish second after a very good campaign with a rough spot in between. I would say, yeah, 10 out of 10 season compared to what just happened, you know, less than a week after winning the Scudetto, you know. The coach leaving, the main striker leaving, the best wing back in the world leaving, Ericsson incident happening over the summer, you know, the recruitment that we saw, like, I wasn't really sold on Hakan during the summer, you know. I would say it was a 10 out of 10. But seeing after what happened in after December, so when was it, in February, I think? January and February, that kind of part, where we got 2 points out of, I think, seven matches. That just has, you know, the sour taste in your mouth. It just leaves it like that, you know. How can you be satisfied with that after you've been leading for 10 points in the league? You know, it's kind of, So yeah. This, I would say, it's actually a 7 just because we still won, like, 2 trophies, beat Juventus in the 3 games, but...
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well. It's like we can really take it all the way left or all the way right, because once you state it like that, like, okay, we were in a position where I don't think we were 10 points up. I think we were 7 points up at some point, right? And we ended up we went on that poor run of form, and of course it was a very packed schedule, and we had very difficult matches that we had to play. And credit to Inzaghi, the reason why we ended up dropping points in the league is because that he gave his best shot in every single competition. There was not prioritizing the league or anything like that, and I commend him for that. But when you put it like that, we were 7 points up despite everything that went on this summer, despite all the issues that we had, it does feel like a failure that we did let it slip through our hands. But when you look at it in a glass half full perspective as opposed to glass half empty, you could say, listen, we lost Lukaku, we lost Eriksen, we lost Hakimi, we lost Conte, and we weren't even able to spend like that, whatnot. And we're still in a position where we've won 2 trophies that we haven't won in 11 years. We made it in the round of 16 of the Champions League, where we haven't done that in a decade as well, if I'm not mistaken. And if we fuck off the Scudetto, we're probably going to lose it by 2 points or by 1 point. I mean, or by goal difference, not goal difference, direct confrontation. I'm sorry. So I would say that season could be a 7 if you look at it like that, you know, and it's definitely something that you could build on. Hopefully we don't have to gut the squad too much, and we could give Inzaghi a good backup midfield, because that's where the team was undone, in my opinion. When we had to play the Liverpool matches, we had Liverpool, Juve, Atalanta, Lazio. I remember all those teams in succession, and that's where we pretty much lost the Scudetto, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the midfield's gonna be a lot of work done there. We still haven't seen any rumors really there, so I think there's gonna be a lot going on. I think the market has somewhat recovered. Because you've got fans back in stadiums, you've had a full season continuously played. It's going to be interesting. Of course, we've heard Dybala a lot. I guess he would come and play the second striker. I don't think that would be another Hakan-type project where you drop him back into the midfield. So there really is something that's got to be done there. I think since he's out the door. Of course, if we get Bremer in, I think that's almost the Scudetto right there, honestly. Because that changes the way that you can play in defense. I mean, that's someone who's much quicker than De Vrij, who can play higher up than De Vrij. Maybe not as good a passer, but you have Bastoni for that. So for me, it's interesting. Yeah, Sharma down here, that the Fratese rumors died down. Yeah, I think he he plateaued a bit and showed that he needs a couple more seasons at that level, the Sassuolo type level. Onana coming in, of course. I think there's a lot we can build on. I do agree with you, Dave, that a lot of it's going to be whatever comes into the midfield, because you can't go in there with what Gagliardini, the Carboni brothers, and like nothing else. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only positive is that it's pretty much a done deal that we're going to let Vecino walk for free, and Vidal, we're going to try to get rid of him as well. So if those two are leaving, then we would have two coming in. So let's just hope that those two coming in are the right ones. And also, I've seen today, actually, rumors about, what's his name? Aslani, I think his name is, coming from Empoli. We're very interested when we're trying to work. Even there was even mention of Esposito sent going the other way to Empoli in order to bring him in as a vice brosso, which was a very, very important position in the team that we need. So if we could bring in Aslani, for example, Fratesi, and somebody else, I feel like we're good to add to our starting midfield. We would be good, and that's when I would start saying, like, yeah, we could definitely say we're gonna go even higher from where we are this season.
Yeah, and also Emiliano mentioning the Correa for DePaul rumors that have come around recently too. Which, I mean, if that guy can just, you know, come here, score 4 random goals, you know, flip the season around by not really even doing anything, cook some steaks, and then like gets us DePaul, like what an inter career that is. Like,
yeah, he's a legend to me. But I don't know. I just hate to. I don't want to cling on to it because it's just one of those things. I just feel like it's too good to be true. Correa, first and foremost, why would Simeone want Correa? And secondly, I don't know. Like, has DePaul been that bad at Atletico to the point that after one season we're already talking about sending him back to Italy? I'm not sure. You know, so
I think he's
not satisfied
with the game time he's been getting.
He went from Udinese to Atletico and is playing more negative football at Atleti sometimes.
That is true. So I guess, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's something coming from the player himself. Maybe it's the agent. They're trying to stir something up because it came out of nowhere. And mainly those news, those rumblings, they're coming from Argentina. So it seems like he may be wanting to make a move or something like that. And I think that if he becomes available, Beppe is going to be there. And that would definitely take us to the next level.
That would be a lot of Argentines at Inter. I mean, you've got two moving in that. I like it too, but you have all those guys that are going to have to go to South America and back in qualifiers and such. That's the only thing that would worry me. Because the international break hangover is a real thing, and that would make it pretty big. But also it kind of does give me a little more hope that this is like an all Argentine affair with Simeone, Correa, DePaul. Like, maybe there is some understanding between all of those guys. Like, I don't know. I think that's something we'll see. We'll see what comes of it, because I also don't know how much you can even get for Correa, how much that would knock the price down on DePaul.
Yeah, I refuse to believe it, honestly. I just don't see it. You know, I don't see the fit. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess let's hope. Let's hope it happens. I guess it would be one of those situations, kind of like, I know for me personally, two players that I refuse to believe we were ever getting until Fabrizio confirmed it were Eriksen and Hakimi. So those rumors were brewing for a little while before I was like, man, whatever. Until Fabrizio, like, here we go. I'm like, what? Check mark is there? It's the real Fabrizio? And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. So I hope something like that does happen with the DePaul deal, but for now I'm gonna treat it the same way. I don't think it's possible. It feels like a pipe dream, if anything.
Yeah, I guess that's about all we have rumor wise right now. But one thing I want to touch on, just because we have to, because of what happened in that match. Perisic, we've been harping on him, but I mean, he deserves a minute, because wow. You know, we talked about it. We're like, oh, you know, he's pushing, trying to be an iconic Inter player of the modern era status. And then he goes and cements it with that perfect penalty. And I mean, that amazing goal at the end. His little just wry smile after both of them, it made me very happy to see. I know that finals mean a lot to this guy. He's a very competitive guy. He's been to a World Cup final. He's won a Champions League at Bayern. He's done a lot. So, you know, I'm really happy for the guy. He just continues to mud Icardi after their beef.
He definitely won. He definitely won that. Look at this guy. I knew he had something up his sleeve.
He has a Paris's shirt. Ooh.
I never knew that, but no, for sure. Ironically, man, the guy you mentioned, all his accolades, he's won the treble at Bayern. He's been to World Cup finals. He's done a lot, and I feel like this season it may just be his best season he's having, you know, because even at Bayern he was a bit part player, he was a bench player, but this is the best Perisic that I've seen, and who would have thought that it would have been happening as a wing back, you know? So credit to him, man. This is a guy that I can't see us doing without him right now. He did make some slick comments after the match. Hopefully him and Bepe do make up afterwards, and we get that extension handled, because I would not want to lose him no matter what, even if we do have Gosens.
To be honest, Milito did the same thing after the 2010 Champions League final.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean,
I was also going to bring that up, because I mean, that's the last time an Inter player scored a brace in a final, right?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Stat
Daniel doesn't have a stat about that.
Well, we haven't been to many finals since, so yeah, it's not hard to remember.
True. I mean, unless you count Lukaku's brace, 1-4 Inter and 1-4 Sevilla in the Europa League final. I gotta humble everybody a little bit. I was having flashbacks to that match when we went down 2-1, and I was just like, God. But you know,
Especially the way they celebrated too after that 2-1 goal, the whole bench cleared and stuff, and they're running to the curve. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. You know, so the fact that our guys were able to dig themselves out of that shows again the mentality. The same thing against Empoli, being down 2-0, we could have dropped our heads, you know. But the guys, there's a fighting spirit in this team, and if we could manage to add a little more quality to it, I feel like we could impress people even in Europe.
Yeah, and I feel
did
like
you
that.
Believe,
oh, go ahead.
Sorry, did you believe we were gonna make the comeback? Because I personally didn't. I saw a lot of pressing forward. I saw a lot of crosses in the box, but I just didn't see anyone really connecting with it, or even, you know, really endangering the keeper in like a really dangerous manner. You know.
You know, my biggest worry was right after the goal. You know, after we saw all the celebrations, we saw Vlahovic doing this or whatever in a match that he ended up losing. But I was really worried once we got to that point. But after that, because I was like, oh god, you know, Juve is about to blitz us for 4 or 5 if they keep going like this. But
that's what I was afraid of. Yeah, to pick it back off Mikey, that's exactly what I was afraid of. They had the momentum. They scored 2 goals in quick succession, and our guys were looking around. We saw the replay of DeMarco was like this, like his mama died or something like that. So you were like, "Yo, come on, get up off your asses!" And I guess Dumfries was not on the pitch. We saw against Empoli after we went down 2-0, he was the one encouraging his teammates, like, "Come on, get up! We got plenty of time to get back in the match." So we didn't see anybody doing that. Brozo was flailing his arms. DeMarco was like this. It didn't look good. But I have to thank Allegri for it, because he just tried for probably another 5 minutes to attack. And then after that, he just packed it in, made his subs. And then I automatically knew that we were going to be able to at least get that equalizer. I didn't know we were going to win, but at least get an equalizer, because at that point, they were okay with letting us play and trying to defend. And they're not that guy. They're not that team no more. They're not the team that once he locks it in, you can pretty much go home, even if there's 20 minutes on the clock, because you're not going to score. So I knew that we were going to get some balls in the box and something was going to fall our way. And thank God it happened.
Yeah, he tried to do his best Conte there, but it did not work. But yeah, once we started getting the ball and moving it, I wasn't worried, because I mean, I think the best thing that could have happened was that the Empoli match was the match that came just before this, and they saw like, all right, you know, we got punched in the face for 2 goals there, and we were able to come back. And so, you know, having to do it again, it's like, what's one more time? And, you know, they dropped their heads for a minute. I think everyone did. I think everyone was in a bit of shock. But, you know, that recovery, you know, credit to Inzaghi for getting subs right. Credit to the team for, you know, not rolling over. I thought it was a concerted effort after that. And those are the types of things you can build winning cycles on if you are the team that doesn't drop. I mean, we see it with Real Madrid in the Champions League. Like, that team, they could be down 27 goals and they're going to score 28 in 2 minutes. Like, that's the kind of mentality that you need to win. And if that's what we're going to keep, that's going to be awesome for this team.
It just clocked to me that we made 2-4-2 comebacks back to back.
Yeah.
Before the season, I never would have thought that this was possible.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Milan match, the derby a few years ago, that was a 4-2. And I did the same thing in that match that I did in this one. Once Inter went down and I knew that, you know, commentators were just piling on, like, it was just going to make me mad if I listened to it. I just put the TV on mute. And Nina was here with me and she was like, why'd you put it on mute? What are you doing? And I was like, you don't understand. You don't understand. I can't do that. I can't do that right now. But it had the same effect. You know, I didn't turn the sound back on until after the penalty went in. And then we're back in business.
I mean, I was watching the game in the bar with two Juventus fans, and it was, and then a Milanista came in. And it was, when we were winning, it was all fine and dandy. When they were winning, it was really obnoxious. You know, just, you know, the cockiness, the smugness, you know, the things they were used to for the last 10, 11 years, however long. But then when we were leading, it was all like, oh, why doesn't the ref put on the black and blue kit? Like, what is this bullshit? You know, Inter paid the refs. And it's like, do you hear yourself? Do you realize the irony right here? Like,
you are not watching the match with a normal, well-adjusted human being.
No. But I did buy him a shot or two of Travarica after, just so he can, like, you know, calm down. That's, like, really strong. That's a really strong, like, shot.
Drown his sorrows.
It was fun.
Yeah, well, we're hitting our limit here that we usually hit. Christo, you've been quiet. I want to get our last comments. I want to go to you first. I need some words of encouragement, some words of wisdom, maybe some words of violence from you. I don't know.
No. All good, all positive today. Some jokes aside, but I've been enjoying listening to you guys just talk and express your own opinions, especially going forward. It's going to be a very tough 2 matches because Cagliari is playing for its life. And although they're in a relegation battle, I think it's a must win for us, more than it's a must win for them, because they have had to win so many matches prior to Inter and they didn't do anything. So I think they have lost their chance and it's time for Inter to shine. We have done our fucking up in previous months, as we mentioned previously, and it's time for us to shine and, you know, just put the game to rest. I think in the couple of matches that we've played, we showed a great mentality going forward, attacking on all fronts. Our players seemed very, like, at ease for some reason, because they're like, we're confident in our ability. Sooner or later, the chances will be converted and we'll win. Something that hasn't been the case in past months. You know, we, in my opinion, I think we lost a title at Genoa. I'm still believing that we can turn it around, but when it doesn't depend on you, it's like, it's not in your hands, so you cannot do anything. You can just sit at this,
Genoa or Bologna?
I think Genoa, when we drew, like, a couple of months ago, because that was a, like a run of form that was not pleasing. And when you have +7 to your nearest rival and you drop that and you're like 2-3 points behind for the last matches, that's a -10 points. When you compare it, that period to this period. And we've laughed at Napoli for doing that when they were in the first place, like in the winter. So it just, you know, it's not in your hands. You cannot do anything. So we just hope that Atalanta wins or tries to play football, because Milan have been locked in and they have been winning relentlessly even when they're not playing good. That's a sign of and a mentality of champions. So we can hate, we can, you know, judge it or whatever. That's it. And only luck can save us. Atalanta have been brutally bad in the past months, or in this season, I would say. It's not something that Atalanta does, you know, fighting for Europa League conference spot. But hopefully they can turn up and continue the form that they have been in. You know, as Mike said, if Milan doesn't lose, that's 16 matches without a loss. And Atalanta has beating or drawing with Milan since 2014, which is amazing. Like 8 years without a loss at San Siro against Milan. That's amazing. So only luck can save us. But you just play your game, focus on yourself, and the things will come. I don't know. As I said, like, you can look both ways into the season. And I think we have to choose the positive way, because losing three out of your, I don't know, three key players and staff, it's immensely hard to replace or to, you know, to basically replace those with Inzaghi and Dzeko, basically. So I'm happy as of now. I'm even happier that we won two trophies against Juventus. Look forward. I don't want to jump forward. We just have to look forward to the next two games. And in 10 days, we can either make it or break it. We can either celebrate the Scudetto or just going back and talking about the season and what went wrong and when it did.
Very fair. You know, I think it's very poetic. Only luck can save us now. Perfect way of putting it, on a damper on such a great achievement for, you know, the Copa this week. But anybody else, last thoughts?
As always, I always want to thank everybody for being active in the comments. I saw a couple new faces, a couple new names. I want to thank everybody. Please make sure you subscribe and hit the like buttons for our videos. We're probably going to be back after Cagliari. So we'll see you guys there. And hopefully everybody's as active. We're going to try to get to every comment and every question.
Yeah. This has been a little bit of a different type of stream. You know, we had a guest. It's been quite busy trying to catch up. We'll get back on the comments for the next one for sure. Thanks, everyone. I guess I'm going to play us out with the outro.
Come on, play it, hit it.
Yeah. And we go. Brothers and sisters of the world.